Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm not being smacked in the head right now, so I'm doing better than Homer.
There's a lot of violence in this episode.
Indeed.
Violence. It's actually a little bit disturbing at times, I think. I think that's what they're going for. Hey, guys, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow for only $2 a month. You can gain access to all of our bonus content, including bonus episodes, weekly episode reviews, a bunch of stuff. I encourage you to check that out. I've also just added a new reward tier to the $5 level. Gets you early access to these episodes, uncut, unedited. I mean, I'll clean up the sound, but you know they're gonna be pretty raw. But you get a few days early if you are interested in that kind of thing. But it's there. We have a person to thank, Matthew.
All right, I like people we thank.
I do
they
too.
Give us money.
They're very nice people. Warren Taylor, thank you, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
On to this week's episode. It is The Homer They Fall, episode 4F03, originally aired November 10th, 1996. Written by Jonathan Collier, directed by Mark Kirkland, finished 29th in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 10, approximately 9.7 million viewing households, the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following The X-Files once again.
Ooh.
That's pretty, 29th is pretty high though. Generally they finished 40 or 50th, you know, in the 40s and 50s, but 29th is apparently, November, maybe it's just people kept watching after a football game or something.
Maybe.
Or they were so many people realized that You Only Move Twice was such an amazing episode, they were hoping that the next one would be just as good.
Yeah. if only.
We'll talk about it. The chalkboard gag is, I am not my long lost twin.
Or are you?
I never know. No, I think only in that one Treehouse of Horror episode. The couch gag, the living room is a desert, and the family are dressed like in Western gear, and they ride the horse. They ride the couch like it's a little, like a horse.
Of course they do.
Episode guest stars Paul Winfield as Lucius Sweet and Michael Buffer as himself. Because he's actually fairly litigious about people using his catchphrase. So I don't think they could get away with using someone else impersonating him saying something similar. Only him and his brother get away with it. You know all about the Buffers, don't you, Matt?
Indeed, I do. I'm all about buffers, mainly large buffers between me and other people.
I would think you wouldn't be a fan of buffers because they make your video play pat. You know, you have to wait for the video to catch.
To be fair, it's not the buffer's fault. That's usually because of the slow internet connection or inconsistent internet connection. The buffer is just there to make it so that it actually plays more smoothly. So I rather appreciate buffers.
Oh, Matt. Thank you.
I know.
How dare I
be correct.
Thank you for, you are technically correct. The episode begins with the family at the mall checking out a bonanza celebration in 1996. I don't know if that would be really pulling in a lot of people, but everyone is dead. Everyone from the main cast is apparently
passed. I have a question for you. Have you ever actually seen Bonanza?
Sat down and watched an episode? No.
Yes. Okay. Neither have I. I have no idea what the show is even about.
It's a serialized Western. It's just like you follow, there's a people in a town in the West and, you know, they do Western stuff.
Oh, okay.
It's not, you know, it was in the 50s, Matt. There were three programs on. There was three channels. People had to watch one of three things and Bonanza was the best of them, I guess. It ran for forever. It ran until 1970, I believe, is when it ended. I don't remember when I did this, but at one point I looked into the entire history of Bonanza, and it was interesting. But all that's left are two of the Native American cast members.
Good for them.
There were three last year, so maybe not.
They won in the end, is what it comes down to.
Not so great, yeah. Which they point out, not everyone's a big fan of them lording their survival over the rest of the cast. They go to the fancy high-tech gadget stores, miscellaneous, etc., which
sounds like my kind of place.
It looks like a place I wouldn't mind going to. It's at least just to poke around, not necessarily buy anything. Homer does basically strong arms march into going. But they, I don't know, they check out the store.
Night vision goggles? A bathroom scale from a Soviet sub? A suede briefcase case? Anyone who needs this kind of status symbol must have some terrible emotional problems.
Marge, look!
The world's best jacket. If I had this, it would show everybody. Show everybody.
Yes, finally, I would like to return your quote-unquote ultimate belt.
I see. Do you have a receipt, quote-unquote, sir?
No, I do not have a receipt. I won it as a door prize at the Star Trek convention, although I find their choice of prize highly illogical, as the average Trekker has no use for a medium-sized belt.
Whoa, fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan. You must be a devil with the ladies.
Hey, I...
I hate to let you down, Casanova, but no receipt, no return.
I'll give you $4 for it.
Very well. I must hurry back to my comic book store, where I dispense the insults rather than absorb them.
Poor comic book guy.
He's so persecuted.
Let's not get into that. Bart does get that really... If that is an authentic bathroom scale from a Soviet sub, yes, please. I want that in my house.
It does seem like a cool collectible to have.
That seems like a cool thing. And I assume it probably will last forever because it was meant to last on a submarine. So I probably, if I owned that thing, it probably wouldn't break for another 1,000 years. And
but how accurate would it be, really?
If it's inaccurate, which way is it inaccurate? Is it too heavy or too light?
It makes you too heavy, obviously. They're Russian. They're always pessimistic.
I feel like the Russian people aren't, I think there's some optimism in that kind of jury. always wanted to drink. I took Russian in college. Our teacher was actually quite peppy. So I don't believe everything, all the stereotypes. Bart does get the fancy belt with a sphygma. You wrote this word down, Matt. Sphygmomanometer.
Sphygmomanometer.
Sphygma.
It's blood pressure.
Oh, is it? Is that what that is? The cuff thing?
I believe that's what SPH.
Y-G-M-O-M-M-O-M-O-T-E-R. That's how you spell that.
I actually, yes, blood pressure. I was correct. I tried to spell it from memory, and I was one letter off. So, yeah, I'm awesome like that.
You're pretty good. Bart takes the belt to school, and of course some bullies notice that he has a nice thing, I guess.
Want a trade belt?
Well... not really, because yours is just a piece of extension cord.
Hey, dude, he's ragging on your cord.
I had to include it, Matt.
Well, yeah, of course.
I had to. No one likes it when you rag on someone's cord. Come on, that's just rude.
I can't say I believe Bart actually was ragging on his cord, but, you know, whatever.
I don't know. The implication there was that his belt was superior, and obviously, no, I wouldn't trade for your cord. I don't know. There is an air of derision in there. But Bart gets, there's a chase sequence, a brief one, where Bart throws him off with a fake turn signal, but then immediately all the other belts functions basically fail Bart, and he is beaten rather roughly, honestly. He did not inherit the Homer Simpson syndrome. He does not have the the same football helmet inside the skull thing going on, because he looks pretty rough for wear. Homer notices and decides, that he himself is going to squeal for Bart. He is going to go talk to the bully's fathers and, of course, straighten things out with them. That is not actually... There's a lot of physical stuff in this episode, to no one's surprise, so there's not... I did not just pull a lot of clips of people getting hit with things, or Homer getting hit with things, honestly, because a lot of it is just Homer getting punched or hit with an object. So... not a lot of great clips that are just going to be pop sound effects, but he talks to the bully's dads, and they're not reasonable, Matt. They're not reasonable.
Shocking.
It's
like there's a reason they became bullies.
Or raised bullies, which the internet says that this is the only time we've ever met the bully's fathers, Dolph Jimbo Kearney.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, one, Kearney's dad should be older, because I believe Kearney was around for the National Bicentennial, and shouldn't Dolph's dad be rich, or did Dolph's mom leave Dolph's dad and marry somebody rich? Is that what we're going with?
I think that actually pretty much matches my idea for Dolph. pretty strongly, because he does seem like be angry at his stepdad kind of thing, while his actual dad is like rough and tumble and like quote unquote cool. I think that's
true. And also later, Dolph's mom leaves the rich guy because she starts dating Gunther, the Jesus analog, in one episode.
Man, we gotta do. I guess I should do more research on the bullies Wikipedia pages. But they beat the crap out of Homer. Like they hit him in the head with a pool cue, which
that hurts.
That would that could possibly kill someone. A normal person, if you get hit in the head with a pool cue, would possibly kill you. Homer just kind of stands there and takes it, and the bully's dads just get confused because he's not falling down. Mo is there to save the day, sort of, by threatening them with a shotgun, and unless they are willing to buy drinks, and they are not willing to buy drinks.
They're cheap people.
They're cheap. They want fights without having to pay for it. Mo is actually quite impressed by Homer's ability to withstand punishment and suggests boxing as a career.
Jeez, Homer, I never seen a guy stand up to that kind of punishment. I mean, you took a 3-man pounding and didn't even fall down.
Big deal. I didn't even get my kid's belt back. The only thing a loser like me is good for is taking beatings.
There you go. That's the spirit. Homer, I seen prize fighters couldn't take a punch half as good as you. You know, boxing might be right up your alley.
Really?
Oh, please, it's the good life, Homer. Some of these boxers, they eat steak and lobster and salad bar all in a single meal.
Dressing?
Their choice.
You really think I could do it?
Well, I don't know. Are you man enough to test every one of your limits?
Yes.
And are you man enough to throw a punch should the opportunity arise?
Yes.
And are you man enough to give me a 60% cut?
Yes!
I'll take it.
Woohoo!
Yep, 60% cut. That sounds pretty standard.
That's reasonable, right?
Absolutely. I mean, managers get most of your money, at least that's if you go by Hollywood standards.
I'm not going to speak. I have no actual knowledge about agents or managers what the proper cut is, so I'm not going to try to speak to that, but 60% does seem pretty high. But
it does.
That is a very short first act if we go to a commercial.
And when we come back, we see Homer and Mo getting down to brass tacks in Mo's office. Mo's office is the women's restroom because they haven't had any ladies in there since 1976, he says.
I want to say it was 79, but I could be wrong.
79, okay, maybe. Sometime in the 70s is the last time they had a woman in there, which I'm pretty sure Marge has been in there, so maybe the last time a woman used the restroom. Either way, they talk and they get down to Mo's history as a boxer.
You used to be a boxer just like me?
Yep, they called me Kid Gorgeous. Later on, it was Kid Presentable, then Kid Gruesome. And finally, Kid Mo.
Hey, what's this?
Ah, that's my old spit bucket. Yeah, I've been meaning to empty that out.
You know Lucius Sweet? He's one of the biggest names in boxing. He's exactly as rich and as famous as Don King, and he looks just like him, too.
Yeah, he was my manager. Back when I was gorgeous, everybody wanted a piece of me. But somehow, I just never made it to the big time.
Why not?
Because I got knocked out 40 times in a row. That plus politics. You know, it's all politics.
Lousy Democrats.
And once again, we see Homer's politics shining through, blaming those awful, awful Democrats for everything.
40 times in a row is a lot.
Yeah, I think at that point, I would have given up. So well, like how I lost 40 times in a row.
Well, I mean, there are career like fighters who basically serve to prop up. You know, they get booked because they lose, and people want. Oftentimes, they are willing to. They want to win, so they want to have a career record build up a little bit with young fighters. So it's not crazy, but I don't think anyone has lost 40 times in a row. That seems a little bit ridiculous.
Mo was the Washington Generals of boxing.
I don't know what you want to believe about how fixed boxing was or still is, it's not crazy. It's not crazy.
Nah.
Although I kind of want to, there's a thing that we'll probably get into this at some point, but I feel like this episode would benefit from us seeing more of Mo's career.
It would. I really think it would. I mean, I think Mo as a boxer would be interesting. I feel like that's almost a plot point they could come back to. It'd be like, oh, yeah, this person is back from Mo's boxing days. I mean, it makes more sense than his bartending university days. We'll go Swigmore U.
Maybe. Well, while he was at Swigmore, he was a Golden Gloves. Double duty.
Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, Simpsons writers, free idea. That's a free one. You can have it.
Because we're nice like that. We're giving you free ideas that are better than most of the ideas you're coming up with these days.
Oh, wow. Shots fired. Ooh.
I fired those shots a long time ago. Any idea. Anyway, next, Homer goes home and tries to convince Marge it's a good idea. But Marge makes some very salient points.
Homer, of all the crazy ideas you've had, this one ranks somewhere in the middle. You're 38 years old. You don't know how to box, and you haven't gotten any exercise since grade school. Before you even consider this, I insist you consult a doctor.
No problemo.
A competent doctor!
Go!
I just like the idea that Homer has a non-competent doctor that he just goes to. Obviously, in Springfield, it's probably Dr. Nick. He's like, oh, I'll just go see Dr. Nick, and then I can say I've seen a doctor.
Yeah, quote-unquote, a doctor.
That's why Dr. Nick exists, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, he's a quack, but, you know, sometimes you need a quack. Yeah.
Sometimes you do. Sometimes you need that pastiche of medical authority.
I mean, I trust Dr. Nick just as much as those doctors you get on Skype so you can get medical marijuana cards in California.
I trust, actually, they have real doctors on Skype now. I think they use their own proprietary software, but yeah, you can basically sign up to see a doctor over the internet. I definitely trust those way more than I trust Dr. Nick or the California doctors.
Oh, come on. Come on, Matt. They're real doctors. They have to be to give you to sign the things. They're real.
Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. Sure.
They are.
Sure.
I mean, they're doctors.
Uh-huh. They're doctors.
They're doctorbs.
Doctorbs, indeed. But luckily, Homer is in luck because Dr. Hibbert is, well, a competent doctor, apparently. Although I believe at one point we find out he might be practicing without a license. Springfield was apparently settled by some interesting folk.
Well, sir, you more than meet every one of this state's requirements to box, wrestle, or be shot out of a cannon.
Mm-hmm. That's what we get for living in a state founded by circus freaks.
You have an absolutely unique genetic condition known as Homer Simpson Syndrome.
Oh, why me?
Don't worry, it's quite beneficial. Your brain is cushioned by a layer of fluid 1/8 of an inch thicker than normal. It's almost as if you're wearing a football helmet inside your own head. Why, I could wallop you all day with this surgical 2x4 without ever knocking you down. But I have other appointments.
It's important to have those surgical 2x4s, laying around when you need to beat somebody or prop up some internal organs, I suppose.
I was going to ask, what is the other purposes for the surgical 2x4 aside from walloping people on the head?
Like I said, if you need to use it in surgery to prop up something very important, it has to be germ-free, of course.
That's why it's sealed. It's very important.
Exactly. You can't have weird stuff getting in there.
And I honestly don't think, from what I remember, most states, I don't know, like, to compete in a boxing match, actually, like, there isn't, like, it's, you, as long as you're not on drugs or a criminal, like, I mean, even if you are a criminal, especially in Las Vegas, but, like, as long as you're not, like, haven't recently been tested positive for, like, steroids or other stuff, you're probably going to be fine. Like, I know that a while back, there was a lot of rigmarole around people dying in tough man contests because they were, like Homer, completely unprepared to fight, and they would just, you know, they would get in a ring, get a quote-unquote ring. These were very low-level boxing matches, but they, like, fights. They weren't even boxing matches. They're tough man contests, but they were on the par with Moe's ring in the middle of the bar kind of thing, and they were legal. Like, people died, but they were legal, so, like, that, it's not
too far off.
I'm
sure they signed
a
release so no one has to go to jail.
Exactly. That's pretty much it. You just sign, like, you get a couple pieces of paper, and you sign your name on it, and you're okay. Homer's 38. We find, like, in this episode, he's 38. At least we know.
In this episode.
In this episode, he's 38. We got that.
So, we're almost there, Robbie. We're almost Homer's age.
Speak for yourself. I got a while to go.
But we then see Homer. He attempts to practice boxing, but one punch that is not even enough to fell a fly is more than enough to wear Homer out. But luckily, he has Homer Simpson syndrome. So his idea is that he will essentially just have his opponents wear themselves out by punching, and then he just has to knock them over, which is an interesting strategy.
I mean, it's it has roots in actual boxing. Like, there is, I mean, the rope-a-dope, that's Muhammad Ali. That's his,
yeah, that's true.
His strategy was, I tire the other guy out. It makes it easier for me to, I mean, at the end of the day, he was throwing punches at people. So it's not quite the same. But again, Homer is fighting hobos. So they're probably malnourished. Like, they probably don't have, like, square meals like Homer. Homer does have, like, steady nutrition.
True. And that helps remarkably. His opponents are fighting for sandwiches in the case of his first opponent anyway. But yes, apparently he is in do you remember what the league was called? I swear there's a sign that says it on there, but I cannot remember for the life of me what league they're in.
I do not remember.
Okay. Well, basically he's fighting mostly hobos, a few bums. I believe Lenny at one point comments that that tramp has the energy of a hobo, so apparently there's a hierarchy I'm unaware of in terms of energy.
Yeah, there has to be a caste system somewhere along the way of hobos versus tramps versus bums. You know, who knows? They don't lay out the science in this episode. So I can't tell.
We just have to assume, you know. But Homer continually wins his fights using this strategy. Basically, the bums punch for about probably 2 or 3 minutes, get tired, and Homer just knocks them over. And Homer uses his 40% winnings, or 40% of his winnings, to get better and better car washes, eventually working his way up to the Mega Tycoon Wash. So if you ever want to get a better car wash, take up boxing, apparently, in the bum leagues.
I'd prefer not to box, honestly.
Yeah, it seems like a good way to have brain damage. I mean, CTE is pretty heavily a football player's thing at the moment, but I'm sure there's lots of boxers who also have it.
I'm not. Yeah. There's it is the actual we. I found the name of the association. It was It was the Association of Springfield Semi-Pro Boxers, or for short, ASBOX.
Of course.
Of course.
Well, you know, that's Springfield.
No, boxers definitely get brain damage. Like, that's not, I mean, look at Ali. There's, like, it's not, anyone who still disputes that boxers have some sort of long-term effects from their fights are, the only reason that brain science, like, this stuff is so far behind is because you really can't tell, you can't analyze it until people literally die. Like, there's no way to, like, look at the brains until they're dead. And it's, I always love making these episodes really happy when we start bringing up topics about brain damage. It's really exciting. I don't feel bad about this episode, honestly, because of Homer's condition. I think that, like, certain episodes do have that, like, ringing of, like, real-life sadness, but this episode doesn't do it to me just because Homer's wearing a football helmet. It's not as... And he's fighting bums. Like, they're not going to do real damage to him.
Yeah, as we find out, boxing real people is much worse for Homer than...
the bums aren't so bad. Although we do get...
The bums aren't so bad.
We get the as in the car, this whole car wash sequence, it's in, they switch to black and white, and it's basically a Raging Bull parody. You know, it's a direct reference to that. I mean, apparently when they were writing it, they watched a lot of boxing movies to try and get the feel right, which I think they actually do pretty well. Like, I think the animation is really good in all the fights. Like, it really, like, they really sell the violence of it. It doesn't feel like cartoon violence. You know, it doesn't feel like, you know, Looney Tunes.
It feels relatively real.
Yeah, and it feels like that fight with was it Tom?
Yes, in Brother from the Same Planet.
Yeah, it reminds me of that fight, in which it is, like, you know, slightly exaggerated. It's like but there are still, like, the impacts of certain things certainly make me...
It's still two guys wailing on each other.
Yeah, it makes me feel for Homer, honestly.
Yeah. But Homer's fine at this point because he's only fighting bums, as we said. But that's soon going to change thanks to Moe's old acquaintance, Lucius Sweet.
Hello, Moe. Delightful to see you again.
Lucius, hey, what's a glitterati like you doing in my dump? I thought you were managing the champ.
Yes, managing Dredrick has been my highest priority, even though he is temporarily incarcerated for pushing his mother down the stairs. But with his impending release, I've been strategizing for his glorious return to the shores of Fistiana.
What?
His comeback fight. You know, boxing.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, who's donating his body for that one, huh?
Well, word is you manage a stalwart young pugilist who cannot be knocked down.
Homer? You want Homer to fight Tatum?
Well, the fans are weary of fights that are over before they have an opportunity to even get drunk. I just need a body who can sustain verticality for 3 rounds.
Yeah, but Homer's no boxer. He's just a freak. Tatum will fustigate him.
Well, fustigation aside, Mo, you've got a choice. You can either sit here in the ladies' room with your faded memories, or you can take your last shot at the big time, and I can make it happen. 3 rounds. That's all I ask.
So I would just like to point out that whoever is doing Lucius Sweet's voice is really good. It's got that very interesting gravel that it just adds a little something extra to the character. Also, I don't know about you, Robbie, when I've seen this episode many, many times, and until I started watching with the subtitles, I had no idea what he was saying. The glorious shores of it is Fistiana, Fistiana,
mm-hmm.
Which, all right, is that something that's common in boxing?
No, it's made up. It's a word Don King would use. That's all it means. It's not real. No.
I assumed it was like a reference to mythology that I didn't know about.
I don't think so. I think it is they clearly are saying like, yeah, this guy is literally just Don King. And they are just trying to make work, like have, right. I mean, they do an excellent job because it is like, hey, this is Don King and Mike Tyson. Like, they do an excellent job at making them exactly right like those characters. And I think in the performances and in the writing, like, they do an excellent job at, parodying both their ridiculous behaviors. The actor who does the voice of Lucius Sweet is Paul Winfield, who is known for being in The Terminator, Wrath of Khan, Mars Attacks, Cliffhanger. He's been in a lot of stuff, but he also does lots of voiceover work as well. He's a character actor you'd recognize if you saw him.
Probably. But he does a fantastic job here.
Yes. Yes, he does.
And once Mo essentially agrees to this, he calls Homer up to the roof of his bar to show him his new tar paper, ostensibly. But then asks him, how would he like to be the heavyweight champion of the world? And Homer, being Homer, is like, yeah, sure, that sounds like fun. And because I guess Homer doesn't think these things through, obviously. And Mo basically says, sure, all right, you're going to fight Dredrick Tatum. Here's your parking pass. It's for General because, they get that good parking for that. And Homer asks Mo who Dredrick Tatum is. So I guess, which is funny because in Homer versus Losing the Eighth Commandment, he's supposed to watch a big fight involving Dredrick Tatum. But I guess Homer has forgotten since then. And when he asks if he's another bum, Mo says he's out to check on that. And at that point, we get a commercial, we see Tatum in prison where there's a riot going on and Tatum is eating green jello and the riot starts to bother Tatum. So he asks everyone to stop in a calm voice and everyone immediately goes back to their cells. So as we can see, the champ demands respect even in prison. And at that point, we go to a commercial.
It really sells, Tatum's, reputation.
Badassery.
Yes, when he just asks the prison riot to stop and everyone does. I think Homer doesn't question... One, I can completely buy that Homer doesn't remember who Dredrick Tatum is. Like, Homer famously mixes up pop culture and people's names all the time. But I think he implicitly... When he goes, yeah, it's a bum, like, asks Mo, is it another bum? And I think he just implicitly trusts Mo. Like,
which
Homer
is a really bad idea to do.
Well, it is. It is a bad idea. I mean, is it? I mean, in the end, Mo does redeem himself. But I think that Homer is a naive guy. Like, he's naive. He's innocent. We, like, that's what we always talk about when we talk about the best quality. The best qualities of Homer, his best character traits, is that he's naive, he's innocent, he trusts people generally. You know, he sees the best in people a lot of the time, even people like Mo, who are kind of implicitly kind of gross, bad people. I mean, literally, Mo saves him from a beating by saying, "Get out. Unless you have it, unless there's a, you want to buy some drinks, then you can stay and continue beating on my friend."
Yeah. Well, Mo knows what's important now.
Of course. But I think that is what this episode is kind of, I think the crux of the of what's happening in this episode is that relationship of Homer and Mo, and Homer trusting Mo, and Mo wanting to get a little bit, you know, wanting to get money for the fight and getting kind of a glimpse of his past glory, maybe moving back into that world that saw him elevated, not just a dude who runs a bad bar. Like, yeah. I think that is, like, I don't think the episode really, like, executes it perfectly. I think, honestly, I think it bites off more than it can chew for a 22-minute episode, but that is what it is going for. And I think it even on for the measure that it succeeds at all, I think it's pretty good at that. But I think I mentioned earlier that I think us seeing more of Mo's career as a boxer would have benefited it, you know, made the plot.
Right.
Give us more stakes. And I think, like, because I would actually, when I was thinking, when I was watching this, I was thinking, like, this should be a two-parter. Like, it should have started, like, this whole first episode should have just been Mo's, like, it could have started the exact same way, but when Homer goes to meet Mo, you just have a flashback. The rest of the episode is a flashback of Mo's career as a boxer. And then we cut to back to the current day, and the second part is the fight with Dredger Tatum and all that stuff. Like, I think that would have elevated the stakes and made us, I don't know, see more of why Mo would be hesitant to throw in the towel for Homer.
That's true. I mean, you know me, I always love episodes that are about other characters in The Simpsons, especially Mo. Mo is very interesting because he's so put upon by the world and himself. So I agree, that would be interesting to see. I don't see them ever doing anything like that because it seems like it would take a lot of focus away from the central family, but I'd love to see it.
No, I obviously they're not. It's like you said, they could do it, but they'd have to change the focus away from this, I know, angle. Like, they could focus on Mo as a boxer and his career easily, but I don't know what the angle would be because this has already happened. They could do a prequel, but I don't think they'd ever do that.
Nah. Be cool, though.
It would be cool. When we come back from commercial, we are what it looks like a press conference for Dredger Tatum, you know, at about his fight with Homer.
Champ, do you feel remorse for your crime?
Oh, yes. Believe me, my God. If I could turn back the clock on my mother's stair pushing, I would certainly reconsider it.
Dredger, what do you think of Homer Simpson?
I think he's a good man. I like him. I got nothing against him. But I'm definitely gonna make orphans of his children. You know, they do have a mother, Champ. Yes, but I would imagine that she would die of grief.
Dredger, over here. Mr. Tatum.
Thank you. But the champ has no time for further queries. This parole hearing is over.
I will make mother. I'll make orphans of his children. And no, I imagine she would die from grief. That's really, really.
That's pretty good comeback, actually.
Yeah, it is pretty good. It is pretty much like, I imagine he'll die. So Tatum has not even left prison yet, but of course he does. Everyone thinks Homer is gonna get destroyed. Rightfully so. I mean, Homer at this point has only fought hobos, and his only offense has been literally to stand until they get tired and push them over. We get like a few little scenes of the family, like no one believing that he has a chance, which, I mean, you know, we see Marge is worried. Grandpa and Bart are watching the promo for the fight on television. And of course they are casting, like, the angle is, hey, come back and watch Dredger Tatum come out of prison and just brutally punish some dude. You don't know who it is. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's just you're going to witness a beating. But then it is basically fight night. Like, I didn't remember how much of this episode is like a big chunk is literally the night of the fight. Like they spend a lot of time with it, which
the entire third act pretty much.
Like, yeah, except for this very short moment in the very beginning. It's like immediately goes to the fight, goes to the fight. Homer is there is backstage. What's the word for that? He's in the locker room, I suppose. Bart is taping him up when Bart says, make sure he, I didn't remember this, but he says, get it hit an even number of times to avoid amnesia.
It's important.
I feel like maybe that was cut out of syndication or something, because it's a little line that I do not remember ever happening. But Mo is kind of pacing. Mo's a little frantic because he is afraid of Homer getting literally murdered in the ring. It's not too crazy of a thought, because people, that has happened. Boxing, people have died in the ring. But Marge finds Mo and makes him promise to throw in the towel if Homer is doing poorly.
Mo, I'm so glad I found you. Please, promise me you won't let Homer get hurt.
Hey, I'm not the villain here, okay? If Homer gets killed in the ring tonight, it'll be because of your negative attitude. There, I said it.
Listen to me! The instant that Homer's in any kind of danger, I want you to throw in this towel and stop the fight.
All right, I promise, okay?
And right at the end of that, we see Marge walk away and then Mo throw the towel into a trash can. With a very ominous sound
indicating
effect.
He is not going to throw in the towel.
No, he is not going to throw in the towel. It doesn't really work very well in a clip. But it does, I don't know, I think this episode is flawed to a certain extent because it asks us to, like, buy into a lot of things to make the emotional investment work. But it really still does, it is still pretty effective with the short amount of time it has. Like, I feel like it really still does sell Moe's, I mean, I think our knowledge of Mo as a guy who's always like kind of scummy and often will like want money before, like Flaming Moe's, for example, like he sells out Homer for his drink, like for money. So we come into the episode with that knowledge kind of, but I think this scene is still really effective and it still really does sell, like, it's foreboding. Like I even knowing obviously how this episode ends, I still feel like, oh man, Homer, like he is like, you get anxious. I felt anxious about Homer getting into the ring.
Yeah. Well, it raises the stakes essentially is what it does. Is like, this is Moe's not going to stop this for any reason. Cause he can't anymore. Cause he doesn't have the towel.
Yes. Obviously you need that towel. You can't just, he could just climb into the ring and get in the way. Like, that would end the fight.
Yeah.
I think they would stop the fight if he just...
I don't know. It's Dredrick Tatum. He might just punch anybody in the
ring. Dredrick Tatum seems pretty civil in this, even though he has, in the past, pushed his mother downstairs. So, who knows? the fan man makes an appearance. It is Chekhov's fan man. You know, fan man has appeared. Obviously, we have to see more fan man later, right? Right, Matt?
Of course. Absolutely.
We get Dredrick Tatum and Homer's entrances, with Dredrick Tatum entering to Red Man and Homer entering to Why Can't We Be Friends by War. And wearing a robe that says opponent. Grandpa and Mo are in his corner. It's really, he can't get into the ring. He has to be pushed up into the ring.
Well, Homer's upper body strength is nothing to be proud of.
He literally could not kill a fly earlier in the episode with his upper arm strength. So he's also introduced as the Southern Dandy, which I do appreciate. We get Michael Buffer in his appearance. He does his catchphrase. I think he does he say let's get ready to rumble in this, or does he not?
Yes, he definitely does.
Yeah. I don't know if the Simpsons had to pay him, because in this time period he was charging like $250,000 to say that.
Jeez.
Because
I'm sure he put that money away, I would hope.
Well, I don't know, but I know this only because he would announce certain matches for WCW, and it was always pointed out, like, nowadays it is pointed out how much money he was being paid for that, and then like later on it was like up to the millions to appear and say let's get ready to rumble. And the fight starts and Homer is immediately destroyed. Like, immediately hey, Dredrick Tatum is a real boxer, not just some hobo, and also the heavyweight champion. Homer, like 6 seconds in, I believe, Homer is already dazed and confused and probably should quit right then.
Or at least put his fists up in front of his face so it's not his head taking all the hits.
Yeah, Mike want to protect
Homer him. Simpson syndrome is one thing, but come on, man.
I know. Mo probably should have just like, hey, keep your hands up. Like, at worst.
Yeah.
Hey, or grab him. You can pad out match times if Homer just would grab Tatum and like keep making him, the ref, break him up. Like, obviously.
That's true.
He would lose the fight on points, but I don't think that's the point of his exercise. It's to him just to survive.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think Muhammad Ali's, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee thing would work for Homer, but he could at least move around a little bit, you know, just make Tatum chase him around the ring.
Or just, I mean, get close enough that Tatum can't punch with his full force. Just, like, stay close, keep your hands up, and just make him, just get real close to him.
Put your hands in front of your face and just push at it with your body. That's how you win boxing.
I mean, to last three rounds, I mean, that's all Homer has to do. Tatum takes a break to talk to Charlie Sheen. It's really kind of remarkable to think about what Charlie Sheen has gone through in the intervening 20 years since this episode has come out, and how his public perception has changed. I think about that often when celebrities appear or don't even necessarily appear, but I mean,
at least are mentioned.
Mentioned, yeah. Homer gets Marge yells at Homer from the crowd to punch back. He has to punch back. He's not going to win by just standing there. And Homer refers to Marge as a blue cactus. I want to say, is that what he says?
Yes. The cactus is right. I've got to punch him back.
So. He tries to do that, and he misses, and then Tatum punches him in the top of the head, and it is absolutely brutal. The sound design in this is really, really good, because there is a lot of this is just a boxing match, and so you have to have, like, sounds of impact and violence, and it really, that, it's like a whoo, like, it, they really build it up, and it is often hard to, like, to communicate real violence via The Simpsons, and...
Yeah, 'cause it never sounds correct.
No. In this scene, it actually does feel really bad, and I'm immediately, again, like, oh, man... Homer, you have to. Homer's gone. He's done for. This is it.
Homer getting wrecked, y'all.
Yeah, Homer's not doing so hot. Mo runs away at this point. He can't watch this, but he can't throw in the towel. He's kind of torn. And just as Dredrick Tatum is about to throw the final punch, that would can definitely knock out Homer. I don't know if kill Homer, but probably damage him severely. Mo flies in and rescues Homer.
Oh my God! Simpson's manager has flown into the ring and is airlifting him out. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever dignity remained in boxing is literally flying out the window.
Are you an angel?
Yes, Homer, I'm an angel. All us angels wear Pharaoh slacks.
But you stopped the fight. Won't everyone be mad at you?
Let him be mad. The only thing that matters to me is you're safe.
No!
Sorry.
Yep, that's important.
Yeah, well, you might want to, the guy who's just had head trauma delivered on him might want to not hit him into girders. But Mo rescues Homer. Homer's okay. The fight is over. They go outside the stadium where they basically just wrap up the episode and see Mo fly off into the sunset in his fan.
Thank you, Mo. I know you gave up your dreams for Homer.
Well, what a dreams, Madam Marge. I was able to stick up for a pal. Well, so long, Springfield.
Where are you going?
Oh, nowheres in particular. I just need some time to think.
People.
Hey, there you are! Hey, you give me that contraption back!
People who need people.
I just wanted to capture Fan Man yelling at Mo as he flew away. I don't know. It's a really, I think that this episode is really audacious. I don't think it like, I don't think you can like, it feels very much like they're going for this epic, like, Mo is torn by, like, a yearning for his past glory as a boxer, and then and the paycheck, which he still does receive a $100,000 check from Lucius Sweet, but
and really, isn't that the most important thing?
It is the most important thing, and he's torn between that and his, you know, appreciation for his friend and his concern for his friend's health. I feel like it is a measure of how good The Simpsons can be, and that they can get as far as they can in a short amount of time. But I feel like it needed a little bit more to effectively nail down that emotional beat.
Yeah, it's close though.
Yeah, it's still good. It's still funny. I don't know. I like the Homer They Fall. We just got off Homer working for Hank Scorpio and as a henchman, and now he is a boxer. Like, we just, a couple episodes directly in a row of Homer getting different jobs. But I don't know. They really effectively nail all the boxing stuff, like all the parodies and the way they frame shots. And like the lighting in this is really good too. They talk about how in multiple scenes they just try to make things lit by, like, if they had one light bulb. Because that effectively makes things very dreary and kind of grim and dark, and it really works. Like, there are multiple scenes where, like, Mo is standing under very little light, and he's, like, obviously concerned about Homer's health fighting Drudgerick Tatum, and it sells the emotion of everything, of which could, and it could be really silly. Like, you could really, like, the violence in this, I think, does actually, is effectively communicated. Like, I think they fail on in certain episodes when they're trying to make real life repercussions of violence matter. I think they fail sometimes. I think in this episode, they actually do a very good job of it.
Absolutely. I feel like that's one of the things about this episode that really sticks with you, is like, oh my God, Homer is getting the crap beat out of him. And people are really hurt after fights. Bart and Homer both.
But we will rank it at the end of the show. No submissions for this for my favorite episode, but if you do have a favorite episode, please send it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Explain why a certain episode is your favorite. And when we get to that episode, we will read it, or I will read it, on the air. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group, see what people were talking about a week or two after an episode debuted, and what they thought about the episode. Reviews at the time, pretty low, relatively low on this episode.
Which I don't understand. I mean, it's not like it's a bad episode. I mean,
I don't know. I don't know. There's certainly people who liked it, but it's also, there were a lot of D's. The ABCDF grading scale was heavily used on the news group, and a lot of, like, C's and D's. A couple, like, and some B's as well. There's B's in here, which, you know, I would put it closer to that than a D, certainly.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't...
Okay, so I have a question.
Okay. What was it, man?
I was just going to say, I feel like we're looking at these from the eyes of people who have seen how far down The Simpsons can go. Do you think if we were doing this podcast back after, like, season 9, if podcasts were a thing back then, we would be as kind to these episodes, or would we be trying to, or would we not realize the spectrum of how low things could go?
I don't know. Like, I think about that when we're doing new episode reviews for the Patreon, and I, like, you know, we're rough on them sometimes. I things are good or they're not. Like, I don't grade The Simpsons on a Simpsons scale. Like, when I say a Simpsons episode is great, I'm comparing it to my general taste. I'm not going, like, oh, it's great for a Simpsons episode, or this is bad for a Simpsons episode. I don't go in expecting every episode to be, I don't, like, compare it against some, like, Socratic ideal of a Simpsons episode or something. I go, like...
I like that Socratic ideal.
Yeah, the Socratic ideal Simpsons. Like, I don't, like, when I do, like, when we're doing best episode ever, I maybe keep that in mind. But when I go, like, is this good or not? I know what's good. Like, I think I'm smart enough to know when art is good, and even if I think it's bad and other people think it's good, I can at least understand why, not necessarily change my mind or even change their mind, but I at least understand why someone could see something as good while I think it's bad, or vice versa. Like, this is certainly not bad. it's still funny. It still has, like, we've already talked about how well it communicates the violence and how well it parodies those boxing, the boxing personalities and boxing movies. Like, I don't know. It has good character stuff with Moe and Homer. Like, I don't think it matters if there's way, like, even comparing it to the great episode, the one that immediately preceded it. You can't just go like, well, You Only Move Twice is amazing. This episode is only three quarters as good, so it's bad. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, this is still good. And I don't think time, like, we'll see as we go get past the golden years, which is pretty soon, relatively speaking. But I don't think we're going to suddenly go like, oh, this is good. Like, we often have said for new episode reviews, like, hey, this is average for a Simpsons episode, but it's still good. Like, I can still, like, art is good or it's not good. I'm not gonna go like, oh, it's a different scale. Like, it's still, at least not in my general estimation. If we're ranking stuff for best episode ever, that's a little different because we are comparing them directly to each other.
Yeah.
But I'm not, even if I say so, like, a Simpsons episode is like number 97 on our list, I would still say, hey, this is still good and I still like it. Like, there's plenty of episodes that are pretty low on our best episode ever list that I still go, that's still a good episode. I still would watch it again. I still will watch it again at some point. Like, it doesn't change that. It's just like, compared to other Simpsons episodes, it's not as good. But I don't make something that's 90 on our list could still be a B. Like, it doesn't mean that it's a D because it's low on the list or it's, I don't know. That's what I think. Yeah. And I think that's the trap that some of these people are falling into, is that, like, oh, well, the ones that preceded it are amazing, and I think they're amazing. This isn't as good, so it's immediately have to be a D. Like, that's not,
the way that works.
I don't think so. But there's not much else happening, honestly. You know, there's a lot of, you know, internet stuff happening on the news group, but there's nothing else that I felt was that interesting. But we can move on. Our next segment is time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Your listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite of Homer's jobs? Tons of great answers, as always. Always appreciate everyone takes the time to answer. First from Tina, my favorite Homer's jobs would have to be head of the workers' union at the nuclear plant. It's just so funny watching him go toe-to-toe with Burns and, against all odds, succeed. Nick, Homer as the beer baron, Homer versus the 18th Amendment. You're out there, beer baron, and I'll find you.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
No.
From Brian, Poochie, I know we're all supposed to hate him, but he really made life worthwhile. Rest in peace. Rob, Globex employee, he was happy and actually did a good job for once. Who cares if his boss is a supervillain? From Holly, Homie the Clown, stop, he's already dead. from Upcar, sugar salesman / guard and contest. From Andy, door-to-door selling sugar and Lisa's rival. John, the pin monkey, bowling, get your bowling here. From Elliot, pin monkey is the job that made him happiest. From Mike, call Mr. Plow, that's my name. The name again is Mr. Plow. From Amanda at Drawn to Insanity, when he was a tobacco farmer. Pat at Patrick Evans II, I want to say beer baron, but I'm going to go with Santa Claus. Hey there, partner, little partner. good old Santa Claus. From Midnight Philly, Midnight on the Third Day. Got to be sanitation commissioner. Classic Homer spending an entire year budget a month. A lot of sanitation commissioner answers. A lot of garbage.
That's one of the best ones, you got to admit.
It's pretty good. I don't want to tip my hand. We haven't gotten an episode yet. From Zombie Caroline at Karolinski, monorail conductor. Mono. Joe. From Valerie at Rouge Bonsai. / co rep. Handle first. Door to door nice salesman. Danny at Woosh 88, sanitation commissioner and the Trash Man Candyman parody song. It's a memorable one. And from Izzy, his bowling alley job. Bowling! Get your bowling! Mom, make Dad tell the story right.
That's what really happens.
Yes, he is. What's your answer, Matt?
I'm going to have to go with Beer Baron. I don't even know if that qualifies as a job, honestly, but it's just so funny and so interesting and just a great all-around episode.
A bootlegger. Being a bootlegger is a job, right?
Sure, it's an occupation.
Yeah, my answer is Poochie. It's so stupid.
Okay,
I don't know. I love it because it's dumb. Like, it is. I don't know. It's a personification of Like, it's the one animation-centered episode that I think actually does its thing well. You know, we're fairly down on all the other ones. I think that is the Itchy and Scratchy and Poochie is one of the few ones that, I don't know, sells me on all the gimmick in it. And Homer as Poochie is lovely. Next week's question, what is your favorite Mo moment? Your moment. Hey.
Oh, Robbie.
Hey. So, yeah, I couldn't not use that pun. I will post this question on all of our social media, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, and you can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. We can move on, Matt, to our next segment. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions, 1 easy, 1 medium, 1 hard. Try and stump the other. We don't have a wager for this season yet, but we'll come up with something. It always takes us a third of the season to come up with what we're actually doing. If you have any suggestions that aren't food-related and achievable, reasonably achievable, happily...
When we're split up as much as we are.
Yes, when we're thousands of miles from each other, I will happily accept them. I'll start us off, Matt. How about that?
Alrighty.
These are all from one episode. Let me see if you can figure it out. In Lisa Goes Gaga, who guest stars?
I'm going to go with Lady Gaga.
That is correct. You're right.
Oh, okay.
Tough one, I know. See how nice I am to you? I give you nice and easy.
You're so sweet.
I know. What's my easy question?
All right, you ready for yours? Your easy question. In Natural Born Kissers, what do Marge and Homer discover that they enjoy?
Isn't it like I don't know how you mean outdoor dangerous sex or out, like, I don't
yes.
know. I don't know.
Yeah, that's close.
I don't know what the proper terminology for that is.
Yes. Okay. That's what they enjoy.
Okay. Your medium question. In Lisa Goes Gaga, Lisa goes by what name in the school blog?
School blog. Oh, God. I hated this episode so much.
That's why I chose it, because everyone likes it so much.
Really? Why?
No, I'm at sarcasm. There, no one likes this
episode. Oh, okay. I was about to say, I was like, oh my God, really?
No, everyone hates this episode. It is what, like, most people, I mean, critics, I think, are mixed.
Star
but,
Child.
What was it?
Star Child.
Is that a final answer?
Yep.
It is Truth Teller. Lisa goes by Truth Teller.
Oh, Truth Teller. Yeah. I'm starting to remember the actual episode now.
Oh.
It's not making it any better.
You mean the Lady Gaga advertisement?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You ready for your second question?
Sure. Let's go.
Where is the first place Homer and Marge almost get caught in their romantic encounters?
The first place they almost get caught.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Where they figure out they enjoy it.
Oh, well, I mean, it's at the bed and breakfast, right?
No.
You sure it's not the bed and breakfast? Because they're at the farm, but they don't get caught at the farm. Isn't it? I know they start, like, they're running from a rainstorm. Their car breaks down, so they're running through the rain, and they end up in the farm. But they don't almost get caught, do they? I thought, like, they just have sex on the farm. And then later on, they go to the bed and breakfast and try and, like, find that again, and they can't until they, like, almost get caught.
I mean, you need an answer. Like, 100% an answer.
I already gave you my answer because it's the bed and breakfast. That's the right answer.
No, I'm afraid the answer is the barn of the farm, because the farmer comes in because they let all the animals out and he pitchforks them up through the hay. So the question was, where do they first almost get caught?
That's – they didn't – I dispute that. Dispute.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They don't get sure, almost, they sure. don't really almost get caught, though.
They do, because all the farmer had to do was hit Homer in the butt with the pitchfork.
But
and
Homer
they
doesn't
caught.
But they don't – he doesn't realize there's people there. The farmer never
he
sees –
He thinks there are.
They don't get seen. They don't get, like, there's, like, he doesn't see either Homer and Marge. He doesn't see their faces.
Yeah, but I mean, almost get caught has a lot of meanings, and that's the one I was going with.
You're, whatever. I see how this is. Mm-hmm. It's rigged. You rigged it.
Uh-huh, sure.
Your hard question.
Okay.
What is the name of the song written for the episode, for Lisa Goes Gaga?
The name of the song? Ooh.
Your limited knowledge about Lady Gaga is starting to show, Matt.
Yeah. The Homer face.
I mean, that's not a bad guess, honestly. It is You're All My Little Monsters.
Ah, oh, of course. How could I have not gotten that?
I mean,
I'm so terrible.
You don't know she... I wouldn't know that either until... Okay. What is my hard question?
All right, so your hard question... this is actually in the B plot of Natural Born Killers. What two films with alternate endings do Bart and Lisa discover, and how do those endings change the movies?
Oh, okay. I forgot. I was like, there's a B plot in Natural Born Killers? well, one is, isn't that the one, the one is Casablanca, where they're at an airfield with Rick? I think Rick. Humphrey Bogart was Rick, I think, and he was at like, and then what's her name, the lady, female lady protagonist, parachutes down from the plane that she supposedly left, and they like, does that Hitler show up and they kill Hitler or punch Hitler or something, and then the other, what is the other one? There were two, because I clear as day remember the Casablanca one. I do not remember.
Oh yeah, that's the one they spend all the time on. The other one is just a real quick sight gag at the end of the
episode. Oh, I hate you.
Hey, how many times have you done this to me?
Never. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm completely fair. That's what they say about me. My middle name, Fair. Robbie Fair Dorman. Is it... I'm trying to think of all the movies that Simpsons parody a lot. Dr. Strangelove and The Bomb Doesn't Explode.
I'm sorry. It's A Wonderful Life, The Killing Spree ending.
Oh, right. I completely forgot about that. I think I'd enjoy that version of that film way more.
Yeah,
I don't get that the love. I don't understand the love for It's a Wonderful Life. I guess it's just nostalgia.
Yeah, nostalgia. And if you saw it as a kid, that's why you enjoy movies like that.
But I think that'll do it for this week. We can move on to our final segment, the segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. Where does this one go, Matt? This is, it's good. It's funny. I think it does a lot right, but yeah, I would not call it a great episode.
Not a great episode, no, but it's got good points. It's got a good relationship between Homer and Moe. It's got some interesting parodies of celebrity figures, and it's got, you know, laughs. It's got a decent amount of laughs. I'm looking somewhere, I don't know, maybe between 50 and 60, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I was looking more like in the 60s than the 50s.
Yeah, the more I look at these, I'm like, well, it's not as good as Homer at the Bat. Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly. It's not quite that good.
I don't know. I feel like
I would put it solidly above Bart's Girlfriend.
I would definitely put it above Bart's Girlfriend as well.
I don't know. I'm kind of looking Homer Badman. I think Homer Badman is better than this.
Yeah,
I'm not so sure about A Star Is Burns.
No, I think it's better. I don't know. I would put it in the high. Like I think actually Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly is pretty. I don't know if they evoke very similar feelings about like thematically or like I don't know character and story wise trying to go for something and just not quite getting there. Like I feel like Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly, I think we talked about how it kind of portrays Flanders as an antagonist, and then towards the end there it kind of fumbles a little bit, making him a little bit more villainous. I feel like this episode just needed, they had like 5 more minutes, I think it could have been way better, but obviously they couldn't do that. I think it's better than Homer Badman or Homer vs. Patty and Selma is pretty good.
Really better than Homer Badman? You're gonna have to sell me on that.
Homer Badman doesn't do much for me, honestly. I think it's this odd just because really? You like it so much. This episode at least does something about like Homer and Moe. Like I feel like there is like an interesting dynamic there, and I feel like we get a little bit of insight into Mo and a little bit of like that the wonderful tension and anxiety like near the end where his life is at risk. And
yeah, you're probably right. It is a better episode, but Homer Badman is so much funnier.
I don't think it's Homer Badman is that funny either, honestly.
Wow. You're just slaughtering all the sacred cows, I guess.
I don't know. I hesitate putting Homer versus Pat and Selma because I think it does at the end of the day do something like it has Like, I immediately, when I think Homer versus Patty and Selma, I think about Homer sacrificing himself, basically, to let them keep their jobs. You know, like, he because he loves Marge, because not because he cares at all about Patty and Selma, but because he loves his wife. And I feel like there's a similar emotional beat here. When I think about Homer Badman, I think of, you know, the Pop Rocks bomb at the beginning of the episode. I think of the Venus de Milo, that sweet can, like the weird, you know, dead, whatever that name of that show is that they mess with. But it ends, I don't know, it leaves me a little bit colder. I don't know. It's just a feel thing. It's not really anything. Like, I think this episode is actually pretty funny. Like, I don't, like, I think Jedrick Tatum has some actually pretty funny lines. I like Mo, like, I don't need your stinking money, and then calmly folding up the check and putting it in his pocket. I think,
because that's what a sane person would do.
Well, yeah, it's, you can, at worst, you could take the $100,000 and donate to charity. I don't know. I think it's, I would put it right below Homer vs. Patty and Selma, right above Homer Badman.
I think I can be okay with that. You're right. I mean, I don't know why I love Homer Badman. Probably because it has a candy convention in it, and I've always wanted to go to a candy convention.
You could probably, I think you could swing it. Like, conventions
nowadays. I don't
nowadays,
know where they have those, though.
Well, candy convention, sweets and snacks expo. It's fine with the third, and if you search candy convention, Homer Badman is the third result. The first two perfect. Are both for the Sweets and Snacks Expo, which is in Chicago in May.
Well, then, I guess I'm going to go to Chicago in May if I want to go to a candy convention.
I mean, Chicago's, I'd like to go, I'd like to visit Chicago. So I think, let's see, new attendees. Let's see how we can get you in here.
I think I'd rather go to bed than go to a candy convention right now. So
let's see. You just need to register, book your hotel, plan ahead. I don't know if you actually need credentials or anything. Like, I feel like you can just say, like, yeah, Matt, here's what you do. You register a domain for, like, a candy blog, and you start just, like, do, like, 5 to 10 token candy reviews. Just, like, pretend you are a full-on candy enthusiast. You could probably get a press pass.
Sounds like a good idea. I mean, having a candy review blog, period, sounds like a good idea, because then you need candy. Well, that's worth it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay. Now we know where Matt is going to be reporting out to us from the field in May, the Sweets and Snacks Expo. Tell us about any Venus de Milo's he could perhaps find. Gummy Venus de Milo's, excuse me. So number 67 is on our list, the Homer, they fall right above Homer Badman, right below Homer versus Patty and Selma. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. Last on our list is still Homer's Odyssey at number 146. It will be supplanted at some point. What's our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode, let's check the master list, a.k.a. Wikipedia, Burns, Baby Burns. That's going to be interesting.
We've already mentioned your somehow, like, reticence to talk about, like, I think Burns, Baby, Rodney Dangerfield. Come on, man.
Rodney Dangerfield is great. I'm not sure how his character in The Simpsons will have aged.
I'm excited. I'm interested to see how it has aged. But that'll be next week. You can find this list at our website, thesimpsonsshow.com. Links to everything there, to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed. Link to our Patreon. If you want to throw the show a couple dollars, we'd obviously appreciate the support. You can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts. The Handsome Boys Comics Hour is about comic books, and the Serial Fanaticist, that's Fanatic IST, is about a lot of things, a lot of fandoms. Last episode was about John Darnielle of the Mountain Goat's new novel, which I definitely suggest everyone read. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have taken to looking at the stars in my insomnia. So if you want to write on the sky with lasers, I might see it. So good luck with that.
Insomnia, Matt. You fall asleep like at the drop of a hat. I think if I, like...
Not anymore.
Not anymore? Why am I not in Orlando playing board games then?
That's accurate.
Okay, then. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching the Simpsons.